It's rocking.
It's rocking.
Rock and roll.
Rocking.
Hi.
Hello.
Tapes and scowls.
And scowls.
No.
No?
Yes.
Both?
Yes.
Now?
Yes.
Cool.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going?
It is so good in here.
Good.
I love it.
Excellent.
I'm currently trapped inside some dude's headphones.
Shut up. Shut up. We're not supposed to talk about that.
But.
We're going to get in trouble.
We're always in trouble.
We're going to get the hose again.
No, not the hose. My middle name is Crowd Control.
Puts the lotion on its skin, Tim.
Put the lotion in the basket.
So we got some movies we watched, and we're definitely not trapped anywhere.
No.
No, we watched movies in a very comfortable spot.
Yes, the days of trapping the hosts of the podcast are long gone.
Yeah, we've definitely been eating, right?
Yeah.
Definitely not starving in any kind of way.
No. Nobody's chained up. Not since the Jamie incident where he chewed his leg off and escaped.
I told you, you're giving out too many details.
Oh.
You saw what happened when he got out.
That's his problem, not mine.
I am.
He was safe in here.
Don't make it our problem.
I won't make it our problem.
All right. What movie did you watch?
Hey, I watched a movie. My first movie is a cartoon.
Oh.
Yeah, I haven't done a cartoon in a minute. It is Teen Titans, The Judas Contract.
Interesting.
It's from 2017. It was originally planned to come out in like 2006.
Holy shit.
And it kept getting pushed back. There were various reasons. Not any that was like, oh, this sucks, let's can it.
It just
kept getting shelved. I watched it on April 14th. It's an hour 24 minutes. It's a long animation.
Yeah.
For an original animation. Genre is animation, action adventure. Comic book.
Sure.
Directed by Sam Liu, starring Stuart Allen, Jake T. Austin, Teresa Farmiga, Kevin Smith, and Christina Ricci.
Faraminga.
Frau.
I happen to like her a lot.
Frau.
It's not like it was Frau.
Your summary, led by Starfire, the Teen Titans, Beast Boy, Raven, Robin, Blue Beetle, and the just-returned Nightwing, have built a cohesive team in their never-ending battle against evil. But, there's always a but, their newest teammate, Terra, may be altering the dynamic. So if you're not familiar, the Judas Contract is one of the most beloved Teen Titans comic books
of
all time. The entire run of Marv Wolfman and George Perez's Teen Titans from beginning to end is one of the greatest comics.
It's also ever. Two names when you put together are fucking powerhouses.
When you put them, like, them separate is still good, but them together is mind-blowing.
Yep.
Yeah, and this is one of the big reasons why. I mean, they created Deathstroke. This storyline happens in the comics around issue, like, 40-something.
They created Deathstroke is a hell of a thing to say.
They created Deathstroke, which means they vicariously created Deadpool.
Fucking Slade is just terrific.
He really is. And, I mean, even from the beginning, he's not... He grows into what he becomes. But even initially, in that first appearance, like, he is a son of a bitch.
And he looks cool as shit. Who is this fucking dude? He's gonna kill all these children!
And right, that's part of it. Like, I know they're superheroes and they shouldn't be out after dark, but, like, he's gonna murder the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
That being said, I wanted to reread the comic. I did not actually get to do it before I watched this. I wanted to see if this was... Because the comic's kind of dark.
Yes.
Would this be as dark?
Right.
This is a different kind of dark, actually.
Okay.
So I was impressed. And plus, they have a couple of changes. For example, Robin is Damian Wayne.
Okay.
Did not exist when this original story came out.
Not even beginning to be thought of.
And the Blue Beetle is Jaime Reyes.
Okay.
He was not part of this equation initially in the comics either. Everything else is pretty spot on.
Okay.
Nightwing's the new 52 kind of look.
Okay.
So it's like they do little nods to current while referencing the past. I'm fine with that.
And still Dick Grayson, I assume?
Still Dick Grayson.
Okay.
But just read the damn book. It's so good. And then you don't need to read the book to see this. The whole point of the book is Terra, and it's T-E-R-R-A. She can manipulate the ground.
Yep.
She's very powerful. She is going to join the team. Some of the characters are all about it. Other ones are reserved, like they always are.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes a rift on the team when they're kind of firing on all cylinders. Nightwing just came back. He and Starfire have a relationship. So it's got a lot of like slice of life moments mixed in with this violence.
Yeah.
I have to edit out that belch.
Do you?
Nope. Deathstroke is so evil mm-hmm. in this.
Yeah.
He is, it's a whole new level of just weird and gross at times from Deathstroke.
Yeah.
I can't really go into it without spoiling major plot points, but my God, that man will go through any lengths to destroy him some Titans.
It's unbelievable.
And it's a very good representation of Deathstroke or Slade. I think it's worth your time. I think it's a good watch. I think the book's still better, but I think this is fine.
Nice.
I think this is as good as you can do, especially adding characters, which concerned me. This is good. So IMDb gave it a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes critic score, 83% out of 6.
Not bad.
That's only 6. Audience score, 71% out of 752 people.
Okay.
I gave it a 6.5.
Okay.
It's good. It's not mind-blowing. I think if it was more like the book, it could have got higher, but
sure.
I understand. You know? Yeah. So yeah, it's good. Watch it.
Nice.
But read the damn book.
Absolutely. So, Tim, I got a Universal comedy movie.
What?
Yeah, it's The Invisible Woman.
Oh, yeah. You cheeky.
Yeah, it's
cheeky.
It is 1940, and it is, in fact, genre comedy. It's an hour and 12 minutes long and is directed by A. Edward Sutherland. It stars Virginia, goddamn butchered that word, whatever that is. I'm going to go with Virginia and John Barrymore.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a name everybody recognizes, I hope.
I hope so.
Yeah. The summary, a screwy professor, because he couldn't be nutty.
No.
Couldn't be absent-minded.
No.
We're going with screwy. Screwy professor's experiments with a gorgeous model attract the attentions of a gangster and a handsome millionaire.
Oh, man. Two people just lurking around.
Yeah, so this movie is way shunted over in the comedy realm. There's no horror in this at all. It's not shot like a horror movie. It's not pretending to attempt to be a horror movie. It is just a comedy. And again, we get the invisibility. There's new rules. You're not crazy when you're invisible anymore. They don't know how long the invisibility lasts, so that's a little bit of hilarious. And she's naked.
Nice lady. Yeah,
God, it's so bad. Like, of course, not. It's 1940, so if a woman's going to be invisible, she has to be naked. It's like, oh, she's naked. There's a boobie. It's like, oh, God. It's cringy at times.
Okay.
A lot of times. She does, the main actress there, Virginia, sorry, I butchered their last name, does a really nice job of, like, kind of getting back at her boss, who's a fucking asshole, and does all these things when she's invisible, and the gangster and the millionaire are both trying to woo her at different points, and it's fine. It's not a horror movie. It's not really all that engaging. It's paced well. Like, it's not bad. It's not boring, or like, it doesn't plot at all, but it's nothing that I'm really interested in. It's kind of like, I guess it was attempting to be charming at the time. It kind of succeeds, but it kind of suffers from being, you know what I mean, a victim of its time.
It probably blew their minds at the time, the effects. Like, oh, she's putting on her stocking.
Oh, yeah, it's gross, dude. It's gross. Yeah, it's filth. So, yeah, IMDb gives it a 6.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critic score, not available.
Ooh.
The audience gave it 27%.
I'm surprised.
I gave it a 5.
Hmm.
Watchable. It's, like I said, the pace is good, the acting's fine, the effects are good for the invisible stuff just keeps getting better because the technology kept getting better, or at least, you know,
the third one at this point?
The third one, yeah. And they kept advancing the techniques of what you could do. It's just, like, I wouldn't hate, like, if it was on, I would sit through it, but I wouldn't, like, be like, I'm going to throw on The Invisible Woman.
We all know you throw on Inception when you need the
That's
unwind.
Right. I mean, so for invisible things, it's 9.5, 9.5.
Yeah.
A steep drop off. By the third one here.
What's going to happen when we get to the invisible dog?
Who the hell knows?
Just a collar on a string.
That's right.
What is it, boy?
Oof. Yeah, not great.
All right. Well, I'm going to take us in a different direction.
Hmm.
I didn't say a better direction. I just said a different direction.
I see. So the Invisible Woman.
This is a... Yes. All these women. I can see them.
Boobies.
Boobies. Oh, wait, this is just my internet browser. this is a musical.
Hmm.
I don't know if we've done one yet. I watched The Greatest Showman.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
This is from 2017. I watched it April 16th. It's 1 hour, 45 minutes, biography, drama, musical. Biography should be in quotes.
Jackman.
Directed by Michael Gracey, starring... Hugh Jackman, Michelle Williams, Zac Efron, Zendaya. Get yourself a last name, kid. Nobody likes that pretentious shit. I'll tell you who doesn't like it. Shout Factory.
No.
No steel book for you, Zendaya. Celebrate the birth of show business and as it tells of a visionary who rose from nothing to create a spectacle that become a worldwide sensation.
That's the description.
Sure.
I swear to God.
Buzzwords.
Yep.
Buzzwords. And more buzzwords.
I mean, that's the trailer as well when I saw it. I was just like, wow. Another one of those period movies that just look too clean and too polished. And
yes.
Yeah, like Orient Express was for me.
So, I'm not anti-musical.
No. No.
I was actually genuinely hoping this would kind of show you P.T. Barnum and the whole circus stuff.
Yeah.
And it does to an extent. It shows it. The historical accurate stuff is kind of like how they get like a sideshow,
mm-hmm.
a freak show, if you will, together, and they kind of travel around and why they do it and how they do it. It's nothing super shocking.
Right.
It's all about the songs. You have to like the songs to really, like, love this.
Yeah.
And I did not love all the songs. I'm not a huge song guy. There's one in a bar that was pretty fun. I will say Zac Efron's way better in this than I thought he'd be.
Sure.
His acting side is really good on top of... We know he can do the music. We know Zendaya can sing and all this. And we know mm-hmm. we know huge. He's really good.
Hell yeah.
Hells to yeah. I want to see Wolverine prancing around.
I mean, if I'm going to see...
Talking about circus peanuts.
I mean, if I want to see Hugh Jackman on stage, I'm just going to fucking watch The Prestige.
Oh, yeah.
Because goddamn it.
Yeah, I know. That's so good.
Love The Prestige.
We'll have to watch that again so we can have a good movie show.
Fucking love that. Fucking Wolverine fights Batman with magic tricks. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. And David Bowie shows up.
Yeah, and Alfred's there.
They're all there. All your friends.
Yeah, that's right.
Alfred and yeah, Bowie.
Absolutely.
Why is Zac Efron's character not called Bailey? It's Barnum and Bailey Circus.
Yeah.
And Zac Efron is clearly the Bailey in this equation, and they refuse to call him that.
Because the Irish Cream owns the rights to that.
I don't think that's the answer.
It's not.
But I will go with it. Because that's an explanation.
That's all I got.
The movie's fine. The songs are fine. You either love it or you hate it. That's kind of how musicals go. Even people who love musicals will tell you that.
I think people, the way I heard it described was they were more worried about the polish than what was underneath of the polish.
Right. And I'm pretty sure that P.T. Barnum is no saint. And they didn't even, like, if they had just said, like, man, he's a little scummy, I'd have been
He's
fine.
A lot of bit scummy.
I know, but if they just said a little bit scummy, I'd have been like, okay, but no, he is like a
P.T. Barnum, any press is good press is a P.T. Barnum quote.
And he's right, but yeah. being right
doesn't
make
But that means he's gotten his name drug across some shit.
Yep. Yeah. No, not great. IMDb gave it a 7.6. Rotten Tomatoes, the critics gave it 56% out of 248, so a lot of critics. Audience, 86% out of...
Wow, that's a pretty big difference.
25,000 reviews.
Wow.
That's the thing, and that just kind of goes with my theory of, like, you love it or hate a musical. There's really no in-between.
I think people are going to go, they're going to be like, it's flashy looking and the songs are catchy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good enough.
The people that think it's in-between are people like me who don't really care about musicals per se.
Yeah, or just understand a milquetoast movie when they see one.
I know what I'm being lied to about P.T. Barnum.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I gave it a 5.5. As a movie, as a production on film... It's fine.
Yeah.
But as an accurate movie and an accurate story, and I mean, some of these songs aren't that great, so whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
5.5.
It's a thing, and I watched it.
Yeah.
I did it. I did that for you. Now you don't have to.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Don't do it. It's not for you.
No.
It's not.
It's fair.
Don't do it.
So I watched another movie.
Oh, did you?
This one I saw in a movie theater.
Not a theater.
A theater.
Not a dark theater.
That's right.
Did you hide in the corner?
No, but I did see a horror movie in the theater.
Ooh.
It was a scurry one.
Scurry.
It is 2019's Us.
Ooh, Us.
Yeah. I watched this, definitely watched this one in March because I watched it when it came out. It is 2 hours and 1 minute. It is a horror movie and is directed by Jordan Peele.
I like Jordan Peele as a director.
He's crushing it.
Yeah, man.
Like, when Get Out, everybody was raving about it. I'm like, is this the fucking dude from Key and Peele and Mad TV and shit? Like, he's doing a horror movie that's this prolific. And then I saw Get Out, and I'm like, Max, you're a fucking idiot for not seeing this sooner.
Yeah, Get Out was a lot of fun.
Unbelievable. Who was in it? Lupita Nyong'o and Winston Duke, both from fucking Black Panther.
Yeah.
Because Winston Duke is the guy who runs the gorilla tribe. Mm. In the mountain, which is pretty funny. I saw a good meme of them in the car. It's a still from this movie. And it's just like, damn, his ass just got dusted 2 minutes ago and he's already moving up on his girl. Like, that's pretty good.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good. That's an Avengers reference.
It's good work. I like it.
For all you out there. IMDb summary. While on vacation, a family of four is attacked by strangers in red jumpsuits.
Yep.
I don't know how much you know about this.
I do know what the reveal of it is.
Yes. And so it's funny because I went and saw this with Paul. And the day before we went to see it, and I'm just like, I don't know. I'm going to spoil this. So shut it off right now if you don't want to hear it. I said, man, I'm really excited to see what the hell he's going to do with a doppelganger. And Paul's just like, fuck, that's what the movie's about? And I'm like, how'd you not know? Like, it's all over the trailer.
Paul's good at staying in his cave when he wants to.
He is very good.
If Paul don't want to know, Paul will not know.
No, man is a mountain troll, to be sure.
And I love Paul.
This movie is awesome. It is tense, and I describe the movie's pace kind of like somebody lighting a stick of dynamite. You watch them reach down, pull up the stick of dynamite, pull out a match or a lighter or whatever, light the fuse to the stick of dynamite, hold it, and then it explodes. Because you're just like tense, 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 boom. And then there's just nonstop.
Wow.
It's really good. Lupita Nyong'o's performance as her, like standing off against her, like, you know, her underground version of her, is so nuanced and frightening.
Really?
It's so good. That whole scene is so tense. You're like, they are so fucked. Like, they are so fucked.
How do the kids do?
Great, great. The little boy is exceptionally creepy, and the girl's very normal, and she does a really cool version of herself as the jumpsuited version. Mm-hmm. This is really good and interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good. Winston Duke's so good. So good at turning on, like, the thugness when he's trying, like, when they're standing. So you saw the trailer, I assume, and there's, like, it shows that shot of them standing there silhouetted.
Right.
And he's got the baseball bat, and, like, he comes up, and he just, like, normally, like, just normal, well-spoken dude, and then he turns on I thought I done told y'all to get the fuck off my... He's just so good and thuggy when he has to, like, switch it on.
That's good.
He does an excellent performance. I mean, everybody does in this. Tim fucking Heidecker is in this movie, and he does a good job.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really tense. The idea is interesting. I don't know what frightens him about, like, your identity or, like, the idea of a doppelganger obviously being, like, you don't quite have an identity. That kind of idea is really intriguing.
Doppelgangers are scary because if they take you out, they take your identity.
Yeah.
Now they're touching all your stuff.
That's right. That's my stuff.
That's my stuff, doppelganger.
I mean, you know. They can come in here and hide in this hole so I can get out. But yeah, it's really good. IMDb gives it a 7 out of 10, which I think is pretty low. Rotten Tomato critical score of 94.
Nice.
You want to guess the audience score?
No, because I saw it.
61. 61.
Yeah,
that's a crazy difference.
Yeah, it is.
I think a lot of people were disappointed that there wasn't more of an explanation.
Okay.
Behind what was going on with the doppelgangers and things like that. But it's a horror movie, and you're following it from the perspective of a family who's involved. They're not necessarily going to find out the secrets of what's truly going on. Like,
this is a thing and it happened.
Yeah.
I can't explain it.
Exactly, and that makes it frightening.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, you know, fucking get over it, audience. Scary shit's scary.
You dummies.
And I gave this a Manborg out of 10.
Whoa, Manborg.
Yeah. I would say that Get Out would probably get the Manborg 0.5.
Wow.
Because okay. Get Out is pretty revolutionary.
I agree with you.
So this gets the Manborg.
Wow.
The full Manborg.
Manborg's a 9 if you weren't paying attention.
That's right.
Manborg is great. That's how every episode's going to end from here on out.
Good enough.
Until you watch Manborg and you say, I'm an idiot, or it's fine.
Understood.
As far as everything else.
Yeah. If you want to see it, hit up Tim on Twitter, Matt_dog_Tim_.
All the understores.
Understore. Tim.
Stores below
stores. That's where his doppelganger is, the understore. Because Tim works at the comic book store. His doppelganger works at the understore.
Yeah.
And yeah, hit him up and let him know. You got to have that. Max has to watch fucking Manborg. If I haven't already, maybe I have. Who knows?
Oh, you might have by the
maybe.
Time this goes up.
But if there is, well, maybe we'll do a bonus thing.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Where Max reacts to Manborg and Tim punches him a lot. Who knows? Or maybe Tim praises him a lot. You don't know. It depends on what I think of Manborg.
Oh, man, it could just really go either way.
Yeah.
Because you and I don't always, while you and I are like the same person in many respects, we don't always agree with movies.
No, we do not.
That's what makes this fun.
Yeah.
And we haven't hit each other yet, so that's good.
Yeah, so please call for help and get us out of this hole.
Oh, God.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.